Well, as we move on today, believe it or not, we're near the end of the Sermon on the Mount here on Father's Day. Maybe that's fitting. Take a look if you have in your copy of God's Word in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to talk a little bit about foundations, about how God wants us to live our lives and what our lives are built upon. So just take a chance to look at that in Matthew chapter 7, give you a chance to find that in your copy of God's Word. All right. Let me find it. And if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning? Just a few verses. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29. Come on. There we go. And Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, may he be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, he will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, and he was teaching them as one having authority, not as their scribes. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of our Savior, how he speaks to us. And I pray, Father, use me as your vessel to faithfully communicate your word today to each of us, your people, that we might be encouraged, we might be transformed, we might be moved more to be more like your Son, because that's what this is all about. It's not about anything else but becoming more like Jesus. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would draw us to that point. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have today. Bless it and use it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is one of those texts that I feel very inadequate to talk about because it talks about building things, and I'm not really a good builder. I once built a treehouse. Didn't go so well. We'll just leave it at that. Yes, I was in shop class, and I was the one. Fortunately, we did not build birdhouses in shop class. That was good. We just made ashtrays. I'm not sure the message of that we made ashtrays. And I'm trying to think what other things. Wallets and goofy stuff like that, things that no one ever used. I actually gave the wallet, I think, to my dad as a Father's Day gift one time. I'm sure it's somewhere in my mom's house, stuck in a corner somewhere. It was not a real great piece of leather work. But you can relate a little bit probably. Maybe some of you can't. Some of you are gifted at building things and know how to put things together. And that's really what this is talking about. It's talking about building things. And we all know, whether we've built things or whether we've used Lincoln Logs or Legos, that the foundation is important, right? If you want to start to build something, you want to have a solid foundation. You want to make sure it's on the right kind of foundation. Otherwise, what happens to that structure that you build? Boom, right? It topples over. And that's true in our lives, more importantly. We'll get more into that. But Jesus is simply talking here about two guys that build their houses. And anybody remember the children's song we used to sing about this? A couple of, oh, good, all right. The wise man, I won't make you sing it. But you know, it's basically this Jesus parable here that he shares with us, this whole idea of the wise man who built his house on the rock. Now you think, would it be easier to build a house on sand on the beach, or would it be easier to build a house on the side of a rock, on a large rock? Which do you think would be easier? I think the beach, wouldn't it? I mean, look at Gilligan's Island. You're going to get all kinds of pop culture references this morning. So anyway, you look at Gilligan's Island, they built their huts there right off the sand, and they had the nice lagoon in their huts. But you remember what would happen when the typhoons would come on the show to their little... They'd have to rebuild them later because it would take their little straw hut. I think it would have been a lot worse if it were a real typhoon, but, you know, it was Hollywood, and they were trying to make us feel pretty good about ourselves and about their building ability. But, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes. And as you build on it, if you're on a beach, that's not a safe place. The sand there is kind of unsteady, plus you're close to water. There's all kinds of issues. The view's great, though, right? I mean, beaches, most people like beaches. Not everybody, but most of us like beaches. I mean, I like going to the beach. I like looking across that. That would be a great place to see, but it's not a great place to stay, is it? And Jesus is trying to point out here the reality of our lives. Sometimes they're built on shifting sand. They're built on places that don't really match what we want out of our lives. A lot of times we seek to accomplish things in our lives. We want a future. We want things that are going to last. And yet we build our lives on things that don't matter. Because really what Jesus is talking about here, he's not really talking about two builders, is he? He's not talking about a guy that builds his house on the sand and another guy that puts his house on the rock because he's a really good construction guy and he knows what he's doing. He's not talking about that. What he's really talking about are lives and the foundation of our lives and what our lives are rooted in, what our lives are connected to, what holds us up when the storms of life come. Because the storms of life will come. I love this song that Chelsea sang. There's a lot of personal memories for me. My dad sang that song I don't know how many times in church when I was a kid growing up. And I'm sure many of you have heard the story behind that great song. But there's so much that he talks about there about no matter what goes on in my life that the author is trying to say, it is well. And the same must be true for us, that no matter what we face in our lives, we understand who holds our lives and who holds the future that we have before us, don't we? And that's the reality and the truth that is so evident in this text. It's not about whether you live on the beach or you live on the mountaintop. What it's about is what is the structure, the focus, the center of your life? What holds you there? What is your anchor? What is your foundation for living? Is your life based upon what you can accomplish at your job? How much money's in your bank account? What other people think of you? Those are all not bad things, but they can, if that's what the focus of our life is, are those things change? Is anybody awake this morning? All right, a couple of you, good. The whole idea of being focused on what matters in real life, what really truly matters, is what we are to be about. And Jesus is describing these two people in hopes, I believe, that we would understand that we should be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, who understood the foundation of life is something that must not change, that must not shift. Because if it does, our lives will shift. So many people in our world have their hopes, their futures pinned on things that really don't matter. And you've seen it. And maybe you've been one of those people. You know, you can put your hope in a job. And jobs are good things while they're going on. But we all know, unfortunately, especially after the last several years, that jobs that, you know, people thought they would have for the rest of their lives completely disappear because of circumstances and changes in our economy and other changes in the world. And it really doesn't seem to be, and that's kind of one of the struggles that people face today, is they're not sure what's going to last and what's going to matter. People are going to school. Used to be you'd think if you go to school, you get a good degree, a four-year school, you're done, you get a job, and you're going to work at that job for as long as you want, and you're going to have a nice life and a nice house, and everything's going to be great, right? That was the American dream, and some of us kind of grew up with that was what we thought, and thought that would work out. And then life happened. Things changed. We'd move on that road for a while, and eventually the rules would change, the road changes, because our focus, a lot of us, and I can attest this, in not just whether you're, you know, in business or ministry or whatever you're in, if your focus is on the security of things that this world can give you, it will let you down. It will disappoint. It'll never live up to your expectations. And so often the same is true with people, isn't it? And some people are good. Most people are all right. But one thing all people have in common is we are all flawed. We all have issues in our lives. We all have failings. We all have times we don't live up to expectations. Has anybody ever had anyone disappoint you? I thought every hand would go up, and especially the older we were, the quicker they'd go up because we've experienced it more, right? We've had people not live up to the expectations, disappoint us, people not do things or not accomplish tasks, and because of that, we suffer for that or others suffer for that. We live in an economy today because some people didn't live up to expectations that they made and it caused a great deal of duress, and we're still dealing with that, and that's been what, 6-7 years ago? We still haven't completely got out of it? Many of you remember, anybody remember studying the Great Depression way back in the day when you were in school? Now, I'm not saying you lived it through it, I'm saying you studied in a book. I'm trying to help you out here, right? And you remember the cause of that depression is it was shared with us. Now, you know, who knows? Everybody likes to rewrite history, so you never know what's true and what's not. But we're not getting into that this morning. I'm going to go with a more traditional explanation that the Great Depression was caused by people, you know what, spending too much money they didn't have. Does that sound familiar? Buying on credit. That was the idea behind the Great Depression. That's how the banks fell and all that kind of stuff that took place. And it caused a great deal of pain and suffering and difficulty that took many years for our nation to get out of it. It basically took a war to get us out of the Great Depression. And a lot of people had built their future and their foundation on the way things were going at the time, and then when things crashed, they weren't sure what to do. And yet Jesus is telling us, be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains came, and the floods came, the winds came, and what happened? What happened to that house built on the rock? It stood still. Stood firm, didn't move. Oh, I'm sure it got kind of scary outside. I'm sure things had beat pretty hard against it, but the house remained solid because the house was built on a firm foundation, and the same is true with your life and my life. The foundation that our life is built upon will determine how well we are able to survive, withstand, and maybe even thrive during the storms of life, because the storms of life come. I would love to tell you this morning that everything's going to work out like a fairy tale for you. It's going to be all peaches and cream, whatever you like, or strawberries and cream, I don't know, whatever. Whatever, it was just going to be perfect. Everything was going to be smooth sailing. Everything was going to go like it does on a sitcom and solved in 22 minutes. It's going to, you know how so they have a problem and then they have a struggle and then they have it solved in less than a half an hour. Isn't that amazing? Works every time on the Brady Bunch. I'm really going back on, I told you I was going back on sitcoms way back. But it doesn't matter. That's the mindset that we wonder why our lives don't work. Does anyone else's life not work that way? Problems aren't solved immediately for you, are they? They don't just kind of happen and everything's going wonderful and yay, it's all good. No, sometimes the problem's still there. You go to bed at night with an issue and you're hoping by the wake up it'll change, but no, it's still there. And life is like that sometimes, isn't it? The struggles are real. The pain is real. The frustration is real. How do you deal with that? It all depends on your foundation. It really all depends on who your life is rooted in whom you place your trust. If you place your trust in your job, if you place your trust in your bank account, if you place your trust in your government, you knew I was going there. Is that guaranteed success? Absolutely not. Because any structure that is lifted up and honored and exalted through the power and work of human beings will fail eventually. It will struggle. It may not fail. I'm not saying it's going to crash and burn, but it will struggle because there's issues there, because the structures we create are flawed because we really don't know everything like we think we do. But there is one who does know. There is one who will walk with us in the middle of whatever storm we face, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how tough the road gets. He is there with us. And that's who Jesus is talking about. He's reminding us of this life built on the firm foundation. But then there's the other guy. The guy that builds this house on the sand. I'm sure when he built that house, can you imagine the parable he's thinking? He saw the view. What a view. I'm sure it was a gorgeous view. He said, this is a great place to live. You know, I know we like to visit the beach, but I think I'm just going to live here. And I'm going to build my house here. It'll be great. And he built his little house there on the sand, and everything was wonderful for a while when the weather was nice. And I'm sure some of the mornings, well, that other guy was toiling away up on the rock somewhere and just beating himself up, getting that house done. But the time he finally got it done, the other guy had probably spent months, if not years, hanging out on the beach, getting a good tan, just enjoying life, living the dream, right? And then off in the distance, you could see it. This giant black cloud was coming, and it wasn't just a rainstorm. This was one of those big storms. It was on its way, and the guy on the beach is thinking, oh, it's getting different around here. And the other guy's doing, he's all done. He's sitting up in his house built on the rock, and we see, as the parable describes, the storm comes. And it's not just a storm. It's a bad storm. Winds crash, rain comes. It's a horrible thing, and of course, what happens? The poor guy that built his house in the sand that had the great view probably can't even find his house anymore. It's strewn all over the beach, all over wherever, because it's been destroyed by the wind and the rain and the storm. And he basically has to do what? Start over. I hope he didn't build his house on the sand again. Maybe he did. I don't know. The parable that Jesus doesn't tell us that. But the other gentleman was able to withstand it because of where he built his home, because of the foundation of his life. And as I said earlier, the same is true with your life. When the doctor gives you that news, the news that no one wants to hear, when the tests come back and they come back in the wrong way, some people lose it because their foundation is just this life. That's all they know. What am I going to do? And there are those who are able to withstand it because their foundation is not based simply upon the things and the structures of this world. They understand the one who made them. They know the one who created them. They know the one who designed them. They know the one who is above and beyond the storm that they face. The one who sees the end and knows the end, and they can trust him and he will walk with them through it. And because of that, it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's happy. It doesn't mean they're dancing and excited and say, oh boy, yay. But no, they can walk through the storm and they're able to survive it. And maybe even thrive through it. Because that's God's desire in your life. Not to keep the storms away, but to walk with you in the middle of those storms. To be that foundation, that secure foundation. that holds you and I up when things get difficult. Does anybody else want that in their life? Has anyone ever faced hardship and difficulty and they wonder, God, where is it? What's going to happen? How am I going to survive this? Most of us are either coming out of a storm or heading into it, they tell us. And that's probably true. Some of us have had a few storms in our life. We know what it's like. They come and go, and then we have a time of relative peace and calm, and then something else happens. That's just the way life, unfortunately, seems to work. But what we know is the one who is in the middle of it with us is the one who's able to walk with us. You remember the issue, the time, and I think I may have even preached on this one, Jesus with the disciples, and they were out on the boat, you remember? And Jesus is sleeping. And what happens? Remember, they have a storm. And these are experienced seamen. These aren't like me out in the boat. You know, I've been out in the boat once in a great while, but I wouldn't know when a storm hit what to do other than to, you know, a few basic things, but that's it. I'd be freaking out. That's what I'd be doing. And that's what most of them are doing. And these guys have been out in the water in storms before, and this is a bad one. And they're afraid they're going to drown. They're doing everything they can do. And finally, one of them gets smart and wakes up Jesus. Because in the middle of the storm, what is Jesus doing? He's resting. You say, well, that's what God does. God just sleeps in the middle of our storms. No, he just waits for us to get him up. Not that he's asleep, but to call on him. And they get Jesus and he's like, oh, really? And what's he do? Remember? He waves his hands and says a magic potion. No, he says two words, be still. It's in different translations, different ways, but that's the essence of what he says. And what happens to this massive storm that's churning the water and doing it? All of a sudden, the sea is like glass. All of a sudden, the wind is gone, the clouds clear, you see the stars again, everything's as it should be, because they called on the Master. And in that moment, he delivered them from the storm. Now, he could have chosen to let them fight their way through it, and he could have, you know, sat there in the boat with them and helped them and done. He does that sometimes with us. And the choice is always up to him what he will do in our life. But understand this, he is bigger than the storm. That's the key phrase. That's what you need. You and I have to understand. No matter what we face, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult, no matter how deep the crevice may seem to be, God is bigger than the problem we face. He's above and beyond it. He's able to work sometimes through it, sometimes in spite of it, and sometimes he can remove it. That's his call. I'm not going to tell him when he does it. I know what I'd like him to do in my life. How about you? I'd like him just to fix it right there. Take care of it, get rid of it. I don't want to have to deal with it. Sometimes he chooses to let me walk through it with him. And what I have to understand and you and I have to deal with is we just have to trust him in the middle of it. And sometimes the hardest place to trust the king is in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the difficulty, when things aren't going exactly as we planned or hoped. But is God any less faithful in the middle of the storm than he is when it's all over? No, he's not. And the difference between these two men and the parable is pretty simple. It's where their hope was, wasn't it? It's what they based their future on. It's what they were entrusting their life. It's what their energy, what was their life founded on? It wasn't just about where they built their houses. What were they thinking? One thought nothing would change. He just went for the moment. Everything was going to be wonderful. I'll just stay right here. This is great. And the other knew that, you know, sometimes life isn't always great. Sometimes life has its challenges, so I better have my life rooted where it needs to be. And yeah, there's work involved sometimes for us, isn't there? Love to say our relationship with Jesus is just kind of like, you know, floating in a boat. We just kind of say, okay, Jesus, take me where you want to go. I'll just kind of hang out here. But sometimes you have to put some effort into your walk with Christ. Do you not? That's a part of it. That doesn't mean, it's not salvation by works. No, salvation comes by the work of God, not by the work of man. But our spiritual growth, our pilgrimage, our understanding of who we are as we grow in Christ comes in our effort as we seek to understand and apply those teachings that he has in our lives. And that's hard for us sometimes. It's easy to know all the right answers, but sometimes it's hard to do what he tells us to do. Anybody else struggle with that besides me? A lot of times I struggle with that. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I'm supposed to act. And then I do something completely stupid. I'm going to just say that's you. I'm not saying about you. I'm going to say about me. If I'm talking about myself, I can say whatever I want. Pretty mean, right? Right? Okay, whatever. But I frustrate, and I look back, and I'm like, what was wrong with you? What were you thinking? Do you have a brain? Have you ever, what is wrong with you? And I look at myself and Jesus went, trust me. I keep hearing that phrase over and over again in my spirit. Trust me. But Lord, you don't know how big the problem is. Trust me. Lord, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know those people. You don't understand the situation. Trust me. Lord, you don't know what they said. You don't get it. You don't understand it. Trust me. What can I face in this life that the Savior has not already faced, won the victory over, bought the t-shirt, the whole bit? What is there? What is there that he has not overcome that I face and you face? Nothing. Look at the scriptures. You'll see example after example of victory after victory that he's able to accomplish in dire circumstances. Times when situations look hopeless, Jesus shows up and hope seems gone, and then Jesus shows up and what happened? Does it mean that everybody's happy? No. Does it mean that everything works out wonderfully? No, but it means things change because he changes things. And he's the only foundation on whom our life can be built because he's the only one that can satisfy our deepest needs. He's the only one that we can trust forever. And he's the only one that can walk with us when this life is over and we have to go the one place that all of us have to go eventually one time. There is a journey. There is a step that every person that has ever lived on planet Earth has to go themselves. No one can go with you. You have to go by yourself, but there's one who says, I'll go with you. Think about that for a minute. He says, I'll walk with you. He's already been there and came back. I don't know anybody else. I don't know anybody else in my life that can go there, come back, and tell me about it and say, this is what it's like. They have books about it. You know, I don't know how true some of those are, but the reality is Jesus has done it. And he is worthy of our trust. So what does all this mean? Well, I think it's pretty simple. I mean, I don't think there's anything overwhelming here, but I want you to look in the Old Testament for a minute. I know that seems strange. In Psalm 1, just a few verses, and I think this catches the core of what it means to have a foundation in your life. It's real simple. Psalm 1, Jesus, it's not Jesus. We don't even know who wrote this psalm. David didn't write it. It's just a psalmist, one of the priests or the whatever wrote this psalm, because it doesn't give us an identity of who wrote it, but it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful or scoffers. But listen to verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And listen to verse 3, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which bears its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. That's a foundation. You've seen that tree beside the riverside of the creek, haven't you? You ever seen one of those trees that look like it's been there for 150 years? It's usually close to the creek, and it's got those giant roots. Half of them are sticking out of the ground by now because it's been there so long. But it's solid. It's not going anywhere. It's bigger than you can reach around. And that's what Jesus says your life is like when you build your life on that foundation. When you ingrain me, when you allow me to nourish you and nurture you and walk with me and trust me. And in that daily relationship, as the Father walks with you, he is able to help you grow like this tree. And I'm sure that tree along the riverside had seen some pretty rough storms in life, hadn't it? It had saw some things, some winds that would have tested and probably had knocked smaller, weaker trees down. Had probably seen floodwaters rage through, but what does that tree do? It stays there because of its foundation. And when you and I face the difficulties in the lives that we have, we can complain, and we will. We do that. We're good. You know, that's one of the things we have in common with the Israelites. We're great complainers. But we also have something else in common with them. We serve a great God. He's bigger than the storm. He's bigger than what our issue is, and he's able to walk with us through it. And even when circumstances don't go as we want them to, which is often, he's still God and he's still there. And he says, trust me. Trust me. Let me walk with you. And you may be going through a time like that in your life right now, or may have just come out of one. Like I said, most of us are either coming out of one or going into one. Because it seems to happen in our lives a lot, doesn't it? But the God whom we serve, the God whom we love, does not change. He is there and He loves us and He will walk with us through it. And His desire is to accomplish in our lives what only He can. And it is to make us more like His Son. And that's at the heart of everything Jesus shared in the Sermon on the Mount. And the heart of every desire He has for your life is to make you more like Him and to help you to grow into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him. And it all begins with that first step of faith when you trust your life completely to Him. Would you pray with me, Father? I thank You for today. I thank You for this time that we have. I pray, Father, You bless the remainder of this service, this time we have today to study Your Word later. And Father, I pray You use it in whatever desire You have. And if there is one here today that has never met You as Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day that that person would cross over that line of faith and begin that journey with You and allow their life to be rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the goodness of our God. Father, bless this time and use it in whatever way You desire, for You are Lord over it as You are Lord over all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.